Boy, I don't usually stand behind something like this. Yeah, that's right. Can I roam? But I've just got a passage that I'll read from my iPad. Anybody else have iPads in this world? I'm the only early adapter in the room. Anyway, it goes like this. It's a crazy story. Have you read the Bible? Sometimes, yeah. Thanks, Sid. It goes like this. I mean, you listen to this, guys. You listen to this story, and it says here, when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no room, not even at the door. And he was preaching a word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus looked up and saw their faith, he said to them, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And so the story goes on, and this guy was healed. Do you know, the thing that I really like about the story is that there were these four guys who had a friend, and the friend was a paralytic. He was sick as. That's what we say in South Auckland. He was sick. And do you know what these four friends did? They put him in a stretcher, and they tried to find out where Jesus was, and they saw all the human traffic heading towards a certain house, and then they thought, how do we get this stretcher with this guy in the stretcher into Jesus so that Jesus could, you know, hopefully heal this guy? So they came up with this crazy idea. So they climbed up on someone else's house, and then with their bare hands, they made a hole in someone else's roof. And then the passage says that Jesus looked up and saw their faith. My big question is, when the owners of the house looked up, what did they see? They saw someone else destroying their roof. Now, I don't know about New Plymouth, but de-roofing in Auckland is still considered antisocial behaviour. Is that right? And what I like about this passage, though, is that it's absolutely crazy-making stuff all around someone who needed help. Is that right? I mean, what you see in this passage is these four guys, they went to any length to help someone else, even antisocial behavior. So have we got any people in this room who will, after I have spoken, be willing to indulge in a little bit of antisocial behaviour here in New Plymouth on behalf of other people? We've got a few here. Okay. So I thought this morning, people, that launching out from just this passage, that I just want to share some stories. Do you mind? Do you mind? Because that's my natural style, as Talia knows. And really the stories that I want to share are absolutely crazy. But they're so good. And the stories that I want to share are so encouraging. And the first story that I want to start off with is partly my own story. And it goes like this. I mean, Sid said to me yesterday, he said, "Oh, Mick, you're just a free-spirited individual." Something like that, Sid. And he's so right. And I never want to change. I am a nutter. I am decidedly off-center. I am a wee bit unusual. Do you know, I did my master's in a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Have you heard of Dietrich? Yeah, and Dietrich, he was once asked, someone asked Dietrich, and they said, "Dietrich, if you had to come up with one word that would best sum up a Christian, what would it be?" Do you know what Dietrich said in response? Unusual. Do you like that? That Christians are to be very unusual, a little bit off-center, a little bit crazy, a little bit odd. I mean, fancy four guys destroying someone else's roof. I love it. Do you know when I was, it was 1985, Ruby and I, we had two little kitties. And some of you may have heard this story, but it's a great story. We had two little kiddies. We had a nine-month-old and we had a two-year-old. And we decided to leave these shores of New Zealand, and we decided to go and live in another country, and we went and lived in a most beautiful country. Maganda talaga ang bansa na iyan. What did I say, you Filipinos in the back row? A very beautiful country, the Philippines. Is that right? Masarap ang pagkain, diba? The food is very delicious. My Tagalog is not as clear as it used to be, but I'm still trying. Now, it goes like this. We left these shores in 85, right, and we went up there. And what we did was something completely crazy. First off, we did something that was antisocial. We lived as squatters. We squatted on someone else's land. That was breaking the law. When I saw these four individuals, when they destroyed someone else's roof, that was antisocial behavior. We went and squatted on someone else's land, because not all laws are right, even though all laws might be legal. Am I right? People, am I right? Well, some of you are looking at a look at me already like, yes, you are a bit of a nutter, Mick. Was Jesus a nutter? Was he always getting into trouble? Did the establishment and the society of the day like him? No! Am I on good grounds this morning? Am I in good company this morning? You've got this thing here being like Jesus. Do you know we have a God at the center of the universe who once came to a teenage girl and he said, "Oh, by the way, I want to make my way into the world and I'll do that by way of your womb." Have you read that passage? That is pretty odd. Is that right? So I think I'm in good company this morning. Do you know most Christians in New Zealand are so predictable, so usual, so boring? Is that right? They're so bland. They've got no colour. Have you noticed that? Do you know that most Christians in New Zealand, they always take a walk on the mild side? Have you? Whereas I think Jesus always took a walk on the wild side. Yes? Aren't you glad you got me this morning? Okay. So I would like to think that this church of West Church, that you will become one of the craziest churches here in New Plymouth. In fact, that will be your reputation. And people, when they talk about West Church, they'll say, they're odd. Do they do that already? Maybe for different reasons. So, people, in 1985, we went to the shores of the Philippines and we lived in a squatter community. We lived in a plywood shack. If I put this little finger through the plywood wall of our two rooms, it would go into the room of the person or the family next to us. We were surrounded by hundreds and thousands of extremely poor people. The rats were as big as cats. At night time, the rats, they fought with the snakes. The cockroaches used to come in to our place like a wave in a blanket. The female mosquitoes, when they bit you, sometimes you got dengue fever. I got it 3 times. Did you hear that recently, the report of a super who died of dengue fever? I had dengue fever 3 times. I got amoebic dysentery. One day I went to the toilet, as you do, and I sat down to do a number 2. Are we on the same page this morning? Are we all human beings here this morning? So I sat down and I did a number 2, and it felt differently. Now, I don't know what you do when something feels differently. You take a little look? Do you? So I turned around to have a little look, and I had just given birth to twins. Worms. Yes. And 2 worms had exited me. Obviously, they hated my guts. So I'm just setting the scene here. Now, so this is the environment that we lived in. And then we had to do language learning. Have you ever learnt another language? Okay, some of you have learned English, but I've heard some of you and you haven't got that down quite well. But I had to learn a bit of Filipino. So this is how we did it. Now stick with me on this. So we did it not by going to language school. We did it by word, phrase by phrase, sentence by sentence. It got to a point where I had three phrases only. That's all. Now the Filipinos that are here, correct me. So I had only three phrases. What we did was that then we would hit the alleyways of the slums and you would stop people and you would practice your three phrases. So I saw two guys walking down. Oh, by the way, I must tell you what happened on our first Christmas Eve. On our first Christmas Eve in the slum, we were woken one night by rocks being thrown at our plywood shack. Rocks. I grabbed Ruby, grabbed the two kids, and we huddled into a corner, and I morphed into the Hulk. Have you seen the movie, The Hulk? And I morphed into the Hulk and pulled back some of the plywood. And I spied through the gap, and I saw a gang of thieves throwing rocks at us. And so I said to Ruby, we better pray. So we prayed for protection, and then I prayed, Jesus, I want to get to know one of those guys and see him become one of your followers. Amen. We survived the night. We then had to learn the language. I had three phrases. I hit the streets one morning. I saw these two guys walking towards me. This is scary stuff. So I parked my skin bag in front of them. And I said to them, "Ano ang mga pangalan ninyo?" Yeah, that's right. He's my examiner here this morning. What's your name? Beg your pardon? Daniel. So I said, "Ano ang mga pangalan ninyo?" And the two guys in front of me, one said Boyet and one said Richard. So I got the first one right. Then I said, "Saan kayo nakatira?" Where do you live? And they said, "Oh, I live over there and I live over there." Got the second one right. Then I got to my third and last and I said, "Saan kayo papunta nayon?" Where are you going? And they said, "Oh, we're just heading in this direction." I had nothing more to say. I mean, this is crazy stuff. And so I just zipped up, went to Mini-Me, and just waddled off. You know, like, it's so embarrassing. And then about a few weeks later, I saw one of these guys turning into an alleyway. So I yelled out, "Hi, Richard!" And he looked around, shock, horror, stun written all over his face. But he carried on walking. And I thought, that's odd. So the weeks went by and there was a knock. There was a knock at the door and I opened the door and here is one of these guys, Richard. So I say to him in Tagalog, "Ano pala? What's up?" Anyway, you might not enjoy it. I do. And I said, "What's up? Ano pala ang nangyayari sa iyo?" So what's happening? And he said, "Oh, I would like to come inside." He had a little bit of English. I had a little bit of Tagalog at that stage. So he came inside and I said, "So ano pala ang gusto mo? What do you want?" And he said, "Oh, I'd like to do some Bible studies." I thought, this is nuts, do you know? So I said, "Oh, okay." Now, because he only had a little bit of English and I only had a little bit of Tagalog, we did literal Bible studies. We got a Tagalog Bible and an English Bible and we got our fingers. And I pointed to a verse in the English Bible and he found it in the Filipino Bible. And we just went like this. And that lasted an hour. And he went. Following week, he turns up again. We just did this. This lasted for weeks and for months. During that time, I got to know where he lived. Do you know where he lived? A hole in the ground. He lived in a literal hole in the ground with his five brothers and sisters. His parents had deserted them. They lived in a literal hole in the ground. So we got to know each other over months. He would drop by, I'd drop by, I'd drop in. sometimes I would buy sacks of rice and just, you know, heave them over, you know. And we got to know each other. Eventually, to cut this long story short, there was a knock at the door. I opened the door, so I say, Anupala, what's up? And he said, oh, Mick, he says, I want you to be the first to know. And I said, know what? And he said, oh, I've become a Christian. I said, what? He said, I've become a Christian. I said, what? He said, yeah, I've become a Christian. How thick can you foreigners be? I said, how did that happen to you? And he said, oh, Mick, he said, one day you remembered my name. Did you get that? Do you remember I yelled out his name? He said, that's when it all started. You remembered my name. And I said, so what's the big deal about that? You know, I'm pretty thick. And he said, oh, we are the forgotten people. And when you remembered my name, it was like, wow, maybe that Kiwi's God also knows my name. Did you get that? And it started, I'm on a spiritual journey. But what a crazy story. Did you like that? By the way, he was in the gang. And by the way, today he's a pastor. You can't beat this. But by the way, that's my story. That's not yours. Is that right? You mustn't leave here and get off on my story. I had to work hard for that story. You have to leave here and go write your crazy making stories. Am I right or am I right? Is that right? Do you want another one? Are you, what time? You tell me, Talia, what time do I finish? How long have I got? Now you tell me, because you know me, I'm a mouth. Now, Talia, I need a bit of direction here. What time do you want me off? Another 15, okay. So here we go. Would you like another one? So those guys, those four guys were crazy. I mean, don't you think they were crazy? Have you ever destroyed someone else's roof? Oh, it's a lovely story. Have you ever gone and lived in the slums of Manila? Some of you here? That's crazy, isn't it? Do you want another one? Okay, here's another one. Another one goes like this. I get to speak in a number of conferences around the world. I mean, I'm a mouth. You probably haven't picked that up. But anyway, so, and I get to speak with some crazy people. Have you ever heard of Tony Campolo? He's a nutter. Now, Tony tells this story. I don't know if you've told it here, but I've heard Tony tell this story, and it goes like this. You see, Tony's a lecturer, and believe it or not, so am I. And Tony's a lecturer, and he gets invited to lecture in certain schools and colleges, as do I. And so Tony went to this Pentecostal college. Do you know Pentecostals? Chandeliers? Swinging? Okay, I say that kindly. So he went to this Pentecostal college, and Tony, they said to Tony, Tony, we must pray for you. Have you heard this? Kathy's heard it. They said, Tony, we must pray for you. So he knelt down, and all of these people gathered around him and started praying for Tony. And they were speaking in different languages and getting very excited, and then right in the middle of the prayer, one of the guys said, and he had silver hair, and he had three-piece suit with one of those watches that goes in like this. And he said, oh, Lord, and we pray for Charlie Stoltzfitz. And Tony's thinking, these people are nutty. And then he continues to pray and he says, oh Lord, and Charlie, he's got a difficult marriage and he lives in a caravan on such and such a street in such a suburb, and he's about to leave his wife and kids, and we pray for Charlie Stolfitz and so on. Tony thinks this is crazy. The prayer is over. Tony gives his lecture. He gives it fast forward. He wants to get out of this crazy place. He finishes his lecture, he hops in his car, he's racing down the motorway. As he's racing down the motorway, he sees a hitchhiker. Tony loves a captive audience. So he pulls over to the side of the curb, says to the guy, this is a true story, says, where are you going? And the guy said, I'm going this way. Tony says, awesome, so am I. Hop in. The guy hops in, they're heading down to the agreed to direction, and then they do the intros. And Tony says, g'day, my name is Tony Campolo. And the other guy says, oh, my name is Charlie Stoltz. Have you heard this? Now, if you've met Charlie, he's got less hair than me. I mean, not Charlie, Tony. If you've met Tony, he's got less hair than I have. And the few bits of hair that he has on the back of his head, at this point they were tingling. When he heard Charlie say, I am Charlie Stoltzfitz. So Tony went, oh. So when Tony saw the next turn off, he took the turn off. And Charlie said, what are you doing? I thought we had agreed we're going in that direction. But Tony said, just stay cool. So took the turn off, found the suburb that was mentioned in the prayer, located the street that was mentioned in the prayer, and by this time, Charlie's going slightly, whoa, you know. Tony saw the caravan that was mentioned in the prayer, pulled over to the side, and said to Charlie, you're married, you've got three kids, you've just walked out of them, we're going in there. By this point, Charlie was catatonic. You know, he was so stunned mulletish that he just sort of went like this and walked into the house like this, you see. They went inside. They were in there for 3 hours. Both he and his wife became followers of Jesus, and they're both pastors today. And you're listening to that story and you're going, that's incredible. But what did it? A crazy prayer and picking up a hitchhiker. What did it with Richard remembering his name? What did it with those four guys destroying someone else's roof? People, being a Christian is so much fun. And half of you look as though you need more fun in your lives. Is this right? This is, being a Christian is fun. What did you say your thing was? Shelter, safety, and, oh. And, what is it? Tell me, people, what is it? What's the last one? Laughter. Are you getting me this morning? One final story. True story. A little bit sad, but a great ending. Are you up for one more, or should I finish it, Talia? One more. Here it goes. We lived in Melbourne, best city in the world. Yes, it is. Love Melbourne. Nah, sorry, guys. We lived in Melbourne. A little girl was born in Melbourne, and she was born with a cleft palate. Have you heard this? Have you told this? It's a cleft palate. You know what a cleft palate is? And it was grotesque. Some are really bad. So when she was five, Jenny, when she was 5, they took her to a doctor to have an operation on the cleft palate. Most of them are successful. This one was not successful. And she ended up with grotesque scars on her face. She then went to school, little Jenny. And she had these terrible scars, and she would involuntarily salivate, you know? She couldn't help it. She would just salivate down her cheek, such that she got a lot of teasing at school. So she had scars on her face, but now she had scars on her soul because of all the teasing. Now, Jenny, she loved her parents, but unfortunately for her parents, they fell out of love. So her parents ended up getting a divorce. And then after that, Jenny, she became a follower of Jesus. Became a follower of Jesus, started going to a church youth group. Okay? She got to the age of 21, true story. Got to the age of 21, she waited for the gift of her father and a 21st birthday present. Neither turned up. Then, a few weeks later, the youth group decided to put on a party for Jenny. So she walked to the party. She decided to leave the party at 10 o'clock that night. On her way home from walking, a car pulled up on the side of the curb. 2 leather-clad men grabbed her, pushed her into the car, and took her where she didn't want to go to, and things happened to her that shouldn't be done to anybody. And I'll just leave it there. After this tragic event in Jenny's life, after the tragic event, she was just absolutely, deeply, deeply, profoundly hurt. Little Jenny. Now, prior to the tragic event, Jenny and her friends had decided to go to the big conference in Melbourne. Big Christian conference, all the bands and so on, and a great guest speaker. After the event, the tragic event, do you think Jenny wanted to go? No. So her friends kept ringing up. But like these 4 guys, they were persistent. They kept ringing up and saying, come on, Jen, come on. This will be good for you. Come on, Jen, come on, come on. Jen was persuaded last minute. They arrived at the venue late. It had already begun. And they joined a lot of other latecomers. There were so many latecomers that the great guest speaker couldn't get from the back to the front because all the latecomers were blocking the aisle. Are you up with me? So the officials, like officials are wont to do, the officials pushed all these people aside like this, you know, pushed them aside. And Jenny got shoved to the side, and she became part of this human corridor. And then the great guest speaker was racing down the aisle to get to the front so he could speak to the gathering crowd. He was racing down, and as he was racing down, he saw Jenny. True story. Saw Jenny. Didn't know Jenny at all. From another country. Didn't know Jenny. Slowed right down. I mean, we've got to be slow people. We've got to be slow activists. We've got to be really, the practice of slowing. Don't you think it's a great practice? Because then you see people. Just slow down, you walk too fast. Anyway, so he slowed right down, and saw Jenny. And you know, he walked up to Jenny, and he said to Jenny, I can see you are in a lot of pain. I mean, this is crazy. And Jenny, tears began to roll down her cheeks. And then the great guest speaker said, would you like to come and sit with me on the platform? And with tears just welling up in her cheeks, she said, yeah, Yeah, I would. And so she took the hand of Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu, the South African Christian slow activist, took the hand of Desmond Tutu, and for the rest of the evening, she sat with Desmond Tutu. And it was the beginning of her healing. And people hear that story and they go, "That's amazing." But all Desmond did was ask someone to sit with him. And all the four guys did was climb onto someone else's roof. And all I did was remembered someone's name. And all Tony did was pick up a hitchhiker. I don't know how real we can make this stuff, but that's a whole lot of small stuff. But look what happened by doing the small stuff. And my final word to you here at West is, if you don't start small, you don't start at all. And the neat thing is, we can all do crazy small stuff. And you can become a nutter like me. And take a walk on the wild side. That's all.